Hi, friends. Welcome to Neighborhood Church Podcast. Please go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org to find all the ways you can stay connected during COVID-19, or if you'd like to give. Please join us Sunday mornings, 10 a.m., where we stream our services on our webpage, as well as Facebook Live on our Neighborhood Church page. And if you happen to miss it, you can still go back and watch the services. Have a good and beautiful day.
Spend some time singing. We're going to sing two songs together this morning. Greater Are You, Lord by Jason Ingram and Leslie Jordan. So you can look up those lyrics. And then we're going to sing God I Look To You by Jen Johnson. And worship is really our response to God. And we respond to God all the time. So it's not just through song. We respond in worship by breathing, by walking, by parenting, by being a friend, by just being. Even. Sometimes I think it might just have to do with our doing. Worship is about our being and that we are in God's presence all the time. And so one way that we can practice worshiping is singing together. And so if you love to sing, sing it out with us, the songs that we're singing this morning. If it's helpful for you to close your eyes and just spend some time receiving and reflecting on the words that we're singing, you're welcome to do that as well.
You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. You give life, you give life. Love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. So great. In our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. You are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Great. So rocks will cry, these bones will sing great. Are you Lord? All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing great. Are you Lord? Yes, all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing great. Are you Lord? Yes, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise, it's your breath.
Lord, my
hallelujah, our God reigns. And hallelujah, our God reigns forever all our days. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah, our God reigns. And hallelujah, our God reigns. And hallelujah, our God reigns forever all our days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Yes, hallelujah, our God reigns. And hallelujah, our God reigns forever all our days. Amen. All right, let's give it up for Chris. He's going to be speaking to us this morning.
What number am I in the program?
Number one all the time.
That's so great. I don't know, did you see what Jordan just posted? She said, I was worshiping.
The
Trinity is the Father and the Son and the little wizard. It's so good.
Oh, love it.
Little wizard. I can't say anymore. All right, now you made me a little bit shorter. Man, Nikki, people love when you sing. I can just tell you that. Hell, now you got to close up my beard. I don't have anything in my teeth.
I didn't have anything in my teeth, by the way. There's nothing there.
All right, let's test. Ange is here to laugh at jokes. Ange, you ready? I just flew in from Chicago, and boy, my arms are tired. That was a genuine laugh. This is an easy crowd today. I like this one. All right. So today, oh, Nikki, I'm going to need your help on this, too. Just buckle up. All right, so today, we're in our wisdom series. And, of course, we're talking about wisdom. You have to talk about prudence. I know what you're thinking. Oh, that word. I love that word. Like, you wake up and you yell, prudence, out your door because it just makes you feel alive, said no one ever. You guys having a private conversation, man? This is like real church. I'm talking, no one's paying attention. I'm talking like, oh, when is this going to get over with? Gosh, sure. All right, so prudence. When you hear the word prudence, what do you feel, right? Not a lot. Like, when I think of, because in Proverbs, it will give you the option between, like, a simple person does this and a prudent person does this. And if you have to choose between prudence and being simple, I choose simple every time, all right? Simple's fast, simple's great. Love, big fan of simple. But prudence makes me think of like prude. And when I think of a prude, I think of Old Man Sneap. Old Man Sneap was a story we used to read to our kids, and he'd sit on top of a church for some reason, and he'd suck on lemons, and he'd go, shurp, and then everyone else in the town couldn't whistle. That's the story. What do we read our kids? This is what, like, I gotta get on the church. What's the name of the story? Do you remember? Old Man Sneep sucks lemons?
No, he's
That's
like...
what it is. Yeah. Honey, this will help, only help my story. So okay, just go
yes,
with
it. You got it.
Old Man Sneep sucking on lemons. So I don't want to suck on lemons. That's not what I want. So I choose simple. But here's what Proverbs says about simple and prudence. This is Proverbs 8, verse 5. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. 14, verse 15. The simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps. Chapter 14, verse 18. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. All of a sudden, prudence sounds pretty good, right? It's like it's lit. Because what prudence is... is it's the sound wisdom, right? It's a sound wisdom. And the difference between simplicity and prudence is this. Let's say you're sitting in a room, and in the room comes a person. In the room comes a belief set, a value set, an ideal, a feeling, something great, or maybe even something traumatic. something negative, something from your past gets brought up and walks in that room, simplicity can put everything in nice little boxes. Like, oh, high school friend, you go here. You protested, so you go here. You vote this, so you go here. Here's that memory you have. I'll put it in this box because I don't want to deal with it. But then something will walk in that room and it doesn't fit in a box. Like you try shoving that person in that box, but their leg is still kicking out and they're like, I'm not dead yet, right? So you don't know what to do. It doesn't fit in any of the boxes. It doesn't fit that simple area of what you think. So you what? You shove it under the rug, right? And that leg's gonna be kicking around, but you just, because if you can't put it in its right space, then you have to ignore it. You have to pretend it doesn't exist, because that could disrupt who you are. It could disrupt your simplicity, and we will fight for that simplicity with our, like a kung fu grip. What prudence does, though, prudence doesn't, when something walks in that room, that belief, that value, that trauma, that something great, that memory, that pain, that person, when it walks in the room, you don't have to put it in a box. You can see that it's there. You can recognize that it exists, and you can experience it. You can take it in. You can question it. You can begin to talk to other people about that feeling, about that belief, and see what they think. You can, imagine this, talk with the divine about it. You can meditate on it. You could do some research on it. And it doesn't mean you have to place it anything. You could just say that it's in this room, and I'm going to learn from it. It is my teacher. Last week, we talked about how the fields preached a message and they were able to listen. That's prudence, acknowledging that you can learn, that you can grow. And so when they offer simplicity or prudence, in Proverbs, they do this all the time. They'll give categories of something that is good or something that is bad, something that is wicked or something that is holy. And how they get to these terms isn't like somebody just wakes up one day and they're like stretching, like, ah, who needs prudence? Today, I'm evil. Yeah, I choose evil. Gotta choose something. Why not? Evil team might need some people with some great hair. I'm showing up. I'm evil today, right? No one does that. No one just decides to be evil. When I was a coach for Except the Devil, Mickey just... Except the Devil! Oh, man. When I was a Little League baseball coach, this is for like fifth or sixth graders, and I am shocked at how many grown men would show up to that game and lose their mind on some 14 or 15-year-old ump, right? That kid's making probably $20-$25 a game. It's like 300 degrees. He's all in black, right? He's got like 17 inches of padding because no one can catch a ball. And the dad will just go to town on these kids and yell. I look at him like, what is going on in your life? We're a meaningless baseball game. If you're a sixth grader, they're very important to you, but in the bigger context of life, they're meaningless, right? And that dad cannot understand why he's not calling those balls and strikes. And I had to remind myself, that dad was angry before he ever sat down. Whatever's happening to the ump is just bringing up something else in his life. He didn't wake up and say, man, you know what'd be really fun? I want to yell. I'm gonna scream and spit at a 15-year-old. That sounds like a great way to spend my time. Or like maybe you have a neighbor. You have a neighbor who's just never happy. The only time they come up to your house is to say, well, you know what your kids did this time? They're still kids. You know what your dog did this time? Still a dog, right? And every time you drive by, they always just look like something like inside of them's on fire. And you're like, just why don't you do something about it, right? How did they get to that point? Right? How did you get to the point? It's like page 357 of the story, not page one. And so when it's good or evil, when it's holy or wicked, what the author is trying to teach his kids is look at the receipts. If you are wicked, all it is that the receipts of saying, I have given myself to wicked things. I have given my energy, my time, my values, my body, whatever it is, you have given it to, like, consciously or unconsciously, right? You've given yourself to it. And what's the result of years, of hours, of money, of mental energy, of your spirit? It's going to produce an outcome. And that's what he's saying is, you don't wake up evil. You don't wake up wicked. You don't wake up a fool. You get to decide of how you invest the best of yourself. You get to decide where you put your love. You get to decide where you put your energy. And this is all throughout Proverbs. This is Proverbs 3, verses 27 through 31. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, hey, come back tomorrow, I'll give it to you, when you already have it with you. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives truthfully near you. Do not accuse for no reason when they have done no harm to you. Do not envy the violent or choose any of their ways. So what he's saying is, if you have it within you, why not just give it to the person? Why are you going to like stir up all this drama when there's already peace, when love already exists? He's saying, you get to decide. But here's something that we do that is very easy. And is we will be maybe dreaming or we'll be talking with someone about what's happening, and we'll usually say something like, oh, man, I should really get to the gym, right? I should really get a Peloton bike. Is that what we call it? Peloton? Yeah. Petron?
Peloton.
Petron?
No.
Peloton.
Petron is.
It's a Peloton.
Oh, okay. Peloton. Oh, Angela has one? Was that a humble break? Oh, I got one. I'm a big, important person. I forgot what I was talking about.
You should really.
Oh, should. All right. Yeah. We say something as in should. And when I was meeting with my coach, Jenny Birch, Moxie Coaching, shameless plug if you want, I'd be talking about something with my job or something with my health. I'm like, oh man, I really should do this. And she'd stop me and she'd say, Chris, you know, right now you are should-ing on yourself. Right? I want to say that correctly, that we can should on ourselves. And usually that's out of a place of wherever we're at, we're not content. And it's out of a place of like dreaming of health or out of a place of shame. And it's important to realize, am I being motivated to change because it might be the best thing for me, or am I doing it out of shame? And so we'll use the word should. Whenever you use the word should, let that be a little red flag to stop and evaluate what is it that you really, really want. Because what we want to give our energy to, we're going to have to evaluate. Like I remember sitting in Mexico Lindo, it feels like 5 years ago, with my buddy Brian LaCour, and I was talking about like, oh man, I want to lose some weight and I want to build some muscle. And because Brian's like ripped, right? And you're welcome, Brian. He just heard that. He's like, yeah, yeah. I mean, flexing his muscles to his wife. You hear that? And he said, why? Because I said, I should. He goes, why? Are you like healthy? Can you move? Can you do things that you love? I'm like, well, yeah, but shouldn't I like always want to lose 10 pounds? He's like, but if you enjoy your body, like, sure, go for it, but you don't have to do it. Because something in my mind is that I have to be at a certain weight. I have to be that something on the scale has to tell me that I'm worth being loved. I wish I could turn it off, but it's not. And if I go over that number, it's like it drives me to a place of like, well, I got to like do more and I got to be better because I'm a better person when I'm 3 pounds less than I am now. That's not healthy. That's me giving my energy to this idea, my worth, my value is based on what I weigh. And that is not the gospel, friends. But I get to decide what I give myself to, what I give my energy to. So obviously, since we're talking about prudence and we're talking about if you're wicked or not, you have to talk about beaches, because that's what healthy people do. When I was 15, you talk about beaches, right? I'm a professional. I do love the movie Beaches because I cry a lot and I like to cry. Beaches. I was 15 years old, and we were on some sort of like youth group trip, and we stopped at Lake Michigan. And me and my buddy Joe were gonna go with everyone else and go jump in the waves. And our youth pastor Jeff said, "Well, you have to stand between this place and this place." Apparently, that's how Jeff. I remember Jeff talking, and we had to stay within these like these boundaries so that he could watch all of us or pretend to watch all of us. And so we're out there, and it's funny when you're 14, 15, as a boy. You're still a boy, but you're like also becoming a man. So then you have to like pretend that you're a man like most of your life. You're like, yeah, I totally like chewing with my mouth open. That's super manly, all right? And I can grunt when I lift heavy things. So
what?
but we were out there playing, and we were just playing. We were boys just playing in the water, and it was amazing. We were out there for like, I don't know, it felt like 2 hours. And the waves are hitting us, and all of a sudden we hear like this psychotic, rageful human yelling things. And we're like, we're swimming, yay, right? And all of a sudden it got closer, and it was louder, and we turn around, and there's Jeff, and I can still see his face, losing his mind. And we're like, why is he yelling at us? And that's when we looked up at the shore behind Jeff, and we were so far away from the boundaries that he set. But we had no clue, we had no idea that where we started and where we ended up was a very unsafe place. But when you are just doing what you're just playing, we're just existing, and we're like, this works, this feels good. And we didn't mean to move. But if you never turn around and look at the shore, if you never turn around and look at yourself, if you never take time to evaluate where you're at and how you're spending your energy, you're going to find yourself in places you never wanted to be, like the angry dad yelling at 15-year-olds, right? You have to look up and pause. What prudence does, a sound wisdom does, is it takes time to look inward, to silence yourself and evaluate, how is my love being spent? How, what am I investing my love into? What is my pleasure? Like, where am I getting my pleasure from? What am I consuming? Because it is surprising how many people will just say, well, this worked for me. I'm playing. And that was good for me at one point. And things will be handed to us. Truths will be handed to us. Values, ideas will be handed to us. Biblical truths, whatever you want to call them, will be handed to us. And we say, oh, no, clearly I have to keep believing this, keep doing this, keep saying this, keep acting this way, because it worked for me at one point. And it's true. What worked for me in my 20s does not work for me. I'm still 30. My wife's not, but no big deal.
It's fine. You stay in your 30s, baby.
See, I'm almost 40. But it doesn't work for me now. How I parented then and how I need to parent now are very different. Like for women, I've had this conversation many times with my wife and our friends of someone told you at some point of what a good girl is. And what a good girl does, that a good girl always laughs at the joke by the man that was incredibly inappropriate. But you have to laugh, because if you don't laugh, then he's going to ask why, or he's going to get frustrated. And what's he going to do? Blame you for his dumb joke, right? Or how many women I have known who have this ideal or this dream of what their family could be, or where their values could go and what love looks like, only because the man says, we can't do that. And they say, well, you are the head of the household, so I'll compromise all my beliefs to make sure that you are okay. Blow that stuff up, right? Live your best life. And you can do that in relationship with your partner and your family. But what someone told you when you were 15, that modest is hottest. Whatever that purity I almost swore for the first time on camera. Whatever that purity culture handed down to you that you're still carrying with you today. Like, be the best you and be alive and enjoy this life. What are you giving your energy to? Because ignorance is not always an excuse. Solomon tells a story in Proverbs chapter 7. He's like clearly in his house, and he can see this one street corner. And there's this like young man walking around like, doo-doo-doo, I'm a young man, what's going on, right? And there's this woman who stands on the same corner, and she sees him, and she notices him. And she says, why don't you come on in, right? Come on in, it's going to be great. I have a meal all ready for you. And you know what that meal is? It just happens to be in my bedroom. Oh, you know what? My husband's gone. Oh, you should come up. And I have brightly colored sheets. That must be like a, hey, baby, I got some bright sheets. that's a thing. And so what happens, right? This is what happens. I got to read. It's so good. This is verse 21, chapter 7. Soon she has him eating out of her hand, bewitched by her honeyed speech. Before you know it, he's trotting behind her like a calf led to the butcher shop. Right? Here's one thing, just one observation. Imagine this. Men have been blaming women's bodies and their sexuality as a threat to the existence of being a healthy man. Right? Oh, yeah. That's been happening forever. The point here is not like women can't be beautiful, that women should not have their sexuality, that women shouldn't be their full selves. What the wisdom in this is not blaming the woman. The wisdom is what was going on in that young man where he was able to make that compromise? That's prudence. Not to blame the woman, not to blame the girl, not to blame the thin spaghetti straps. It's what's in you where that spaghetti strap could compromise you. What's in you where that woman invited you in the street and talked about bright color sheets? You're like, well, I guess I better go find out,
Because it's like this. Let's say that guy goes home and his mom and dad found out what's happening. He's like, Mom, you're going to never guess what happened today. I'm walking down the street, having a good time, soda in one hand, song in the other, right? And I'm walking down and I look in the reflection of a window. I don't know if they have glass at that time, but for the sake of the story, let's say they do, right? And I got a picture of myself and I'm like, wow, I have nothing in my teeth. This is amazing. Then all of a sudden trips on someone else's foot and I'm going like this, Dad, you know, where I can't control myself and inertia is leading me. That's science, Dad. I can't help. It's not my fault that I have inertia. And it launches me, guess where? Into this woman's bedroom with these bright sheets and you never guess what's gonna happen next. Right? It's the same idea of kids, they got a bad grade and you're like, well, why'd you get a bad grade? Like, well, the teacher hates me. Oh, the teacher hates you. The teacher went to school for 4 years and underpaid for 15 just to wait for you to get in their classroom so they make sure you get a D on that math test. Yeah. What a great system. Right? So Nikki is loving, right? Here's the thing, when you're in that simplicity, in that mindset, right? Instead of saying, what am I giving my energy to? Where am I finding pleasure? Where am I giving love to my partner? Where am I working and investing me being my best self? Instead of blaming everyone else, like you get to decide what you want. And if you never take the time to look up at the shoreline to find out where am I going in my sexuality, where am I going in my contentment in my relationship, where am I going and as a Jesus-looking person, is this what I really want? So how do you do that? This. God cannot be mocked. A person reaps what they sow. That's Galatians 6, verse 7. And I love this because it starts with, you can't blame God for you yelling at the umpire. You can't blame God for you making a compromise in your marriage. You can't blame God, right? It's easy to blame God, right? But a man or person reaps what they sow. When you give yourself to something, regardless if you see or not, there is receipts, there is fruit. And if you never take the time to pick up that fruit and bite into it or smell it or hand it around to other people and saying, do you think I'm the healthiest person I could be? I would not be where I'm at today. No way. If I didn't have my wife, if I didn't have a community of people, if I didn't have mentors that were willing to say, Chris, like Nikki, saying, is this the kind of dad you want to be right now? Right? Is you yelling, you being angry over this, is that really what you want? And it's like, no, but I like to yell, right? You have to be able to observe. If you don't see the fruit of your decisions, if you don't see the fruit of the way that you are giving yourself to something or someone, if you don't see the fruit of how you view God, then you're living a simple life because you're just shoving it under the rug. Prudence, sound wisdom, sees it, experiences it. So here's my invitation, friends. Take some time to get quiet. Take some time. I can imagine some people, right, especially probably ones in the Enneagram saying, all right, we're going to evaluate everything. Get that spreadsheet checklist. I got 80 things I need to evaluate. Let's do them right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead, like, just pick one. Pick your mental health. Pick your, like, how do you want to move in your 60s? And what you're giving yourself to now is going to greatly impact your 60s. What do you want your mental health to be in your 60s? Right? What you do now matters. What are you giving yourself to? And lastly, we can do this together. Right now, I imagine for a lot of you, since we're not gathering together, we're not in this space, it probably is a little bit harder to like process with people about where you're at with your friendships, with your spirituality, whatever you want. But you still can. Phone calls, Zoom calls, I know are not the best. Sitting on someone's deck, sitting 6 feet apart, even though your anxiety might be peaking, is still worth it. Invite others into the place to see you, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because you doing that work, like we talked about last week, you taking time to see where you're at is worth it, because you're worth it. And if you need someone to process with, you can message us, and we have a whole crew of people that would love to talk with you, connect with you, and pray with you. So pray. Let's pray. Join me. So God, we recognize that you are already within. That the divine is here and it's present. Thank you that you are good. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and you would identify those things where we've just been playing in that Lake Michigan, having a good time, and we've never taken the time to turn around and evaluate, where are we? Where do I want to end up? What kind of human do I want to be? And instead of it being a threat, so often we think of like, well, where am I with my health? Where am I in my relationships? Where am I at with in my spirituality? We don't ask because we believe ignorance is bliss. And it feels like a threat to see something that might be an opportunity or a challenge or an opportunity to pivot. We say, that's too hard. I ask for prudence, a sound wisdom, where we can do the hard things so that we can be the fullest self. We can be as the fullest human that you've created us to be. And I pray for my friends who feel alone, who feel isolated, or who don't feel seen or don't feel heard. I pray you'd be with them. And that we are never alone. As Jesus said, and everything I have is yours. We receive that. That we're never alone, and everything that you have in this good and beautiful world, you've already placed within. I pray that song, that voice would be the loudest. So we love you. Amen. All right, thanks, friends. Nikki, are you going to do another song? Okay. Give me yourself. All right, friends. Thanks for joining us today. If you'd like, in 10 minutes, we're going to start our beginnings class. If you want to hear about our story, our values, what we believe, and answer any questions, we'd love to have you join us. You can find that at neighborhoodchurchmn.org. All right, thanks, friends.